The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey, everybody, welcome in to Speak Up. You know, we are continuing our shows recognizing America 250, which is a national movement and all across Idaho, celebrating the important and amazing events that birthed our nation, America, 250 years ago, and the wisdom of our founders and warriors that established our country. Every year, we as a nation celebrate our Constitution on Constitution Day, which is actually tomorrow. I just think the Constitution ought to have the whole month to celebrate it. But I can only hope that every school class, government and private, and families too, always do an annual review of the Constitution. And here to help us do just that is Sean Morgan. Sean has been with us this summer looking at our American history. He is a student and a teacher of America's story. So stay with us, enjoy the ride. We're going to go to our first commercial break right now. We'll be right back with Sean Morgan.
Considering a new career? Alta Forest Products has the perfect opportunity for you. The world's largest manufacturer of wood fence boards, Alta Forest Products is currently hiring for their Naples, Idaho mill, offering one of the highest starting wages in North Idaho, as well as life, medical, dental, and vision insurance, and a $500 signing bonus. No experience necessary. Join the Alta team now. Alta Forest Products in nearby Naples, Idaho. Go to jobs at altafp.com.
For those of you who aren't quite sure what the Co-op Gas and Supply Company carries, here you go. We've got gas cans and safety products for your car and your boat, casters for tables, clear plastic, and packages of rope, driveway reflectors, safety masks, caution tape rolls, plumbing supplies for indoor and outdoor controls. In the warehouse, we have things like hydrants and large tarps, rolled fencing, energy logs, puller sleds, and pull carts, pressure vests to help your dog remain calm, milk replacers, flex wrap, bandages, and bag balm. We've got camp lanterns, camp stoves, and survival supplies, water carriers, wool blend socks, and rain gear to stay dry. And we fill small propane tanks. We thought you might like to know. Come see us. The Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
Industry-leading products, outstanding service, and customized comfort. That's AGE Heating and Cooling. AGE is a premier Lennox dealer, meaning specialty equipment training and high customer satisfaction, earning and maintaining a 4-plus star rating among customers. Lennox Equipment ensures your home comfort needs are met. Now offering electrical services. AGEHeatingandCooling.com. Experience the premier dealer difference today.
Idaho HVAC Contractors, license number 059041.
It's time to hit the open road, so make your first round trip to Specialty Auto Glass to get your windshield in tip-top shape. Heat, air conditioning, road vibration, or even closing your car door can cause the smallest rock chip to suddenly spread across the entire windshield. Specialty Auto Glass technicians are certified and abide by the AGSC standard and can recalibrate your car's safety features. Stay safe this summer with a visit to Specialty Auto Glass off Highway 95 in Ponderay.
The 2025 NFL season is underway. Don't miss your chance to be a part of the action. Tickets to all regular season games are on sale now. Be there live to support your favorite team. See every epic showdown, every classic rivalry, and every primetime game. 17 games for all 32 teams. Visit NFL.com/tickets to purchase tickets today. Verified tickets are available through the NFL Ticket Network, including Ticketmaster, SeatGeek, and Sports Illustrated Tickets.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, everybody, we have Sean Morgan with us again today. Say hello and welcome with me, Sean. Thank you for being here,
glad
always,
to be here.
And bringing your expertise today about the Constitution. You know, it's timely that we're here today because tomorrow is Constitution Day. What do you think our teachers in our schools are they going to focus on this?
Well, they're supposed to. Idaho code or rather federal code, the education department requires any public school or any school that's receiving federal funds to spend September 17th teaching about the Constitution. So there's that. And then our own state code has requirements for civics and education about government. And actually, they just made some changes in the last session. So I think next school year, so next fall, 2026, 2027 school year, it's going to get more comprehensive. They've got a lot of detailed stuff that they want to make sure that our students are aware of and learn.
That is awesome. Like I say, I think we need to celebrate it. I think one day for lessons and classes is not enough for all of us, not just our students, but they definitely need to be trained and taught. I think they need to pass a test on civics. I know I had to take, but maybe that was just voluntary at my school when I was coming through high school.
Yeah, that's a current requirement in our state that our high school kids pass a civics test, but that test is going to become more comprehensive, like I said, when this new
legislation. I'd like to get a copy of that test and see how hard it really is. I hope. I mean, not that I want to make it impossible, but just make it challenging enough that they have to study and know some things.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as promised, we want to do a timeline of the high point events that led up from even before the Declaration of Independence, but from the Declaration all the way through to a final signing. I mean, there are a lot more years there. How many years was it? I wrote it down someplace, like 11?
11 years, yeah.
11 years, and most people don't realize that it took a long time to get all this established. So walk us through that.
Well, I mean, the whole story starts back in the 17th century, 1600s. The English colonists came over and started establishing different colonies for different reasons. This is not necessarily the Pilgrims, but we had folks coming over for commercial reasons, for just expansion of the British Empire. And these were English colonies that were established. So we have these 13 original English colonies. And through the course of time, up into the 18th century, they were not being treated fairly. They were kind of being exploited by the monarchy back in Britain. And they started getting upset about that. They're working hard, they're producing, they're laboring, and they're not getting to keep what they work for.
Paying taxes.
They're paying taxes to cover the king's, 7 years war. And it just built. And the monarchy, the parliament would impose taxes, impose rules, and just try to, kind of keep the colonists under their thumb for whatever reason, whether it was punitive or just to extract as much wealth as they could. But the colonists got fed up with this, and they said, we need to be treated like Englishmen because we're Englishmen. We just don't live in England at the moment.
They tried to work it out, didn't they? They tried to negotiate for fairness.
For several years, they tried to straighten it out, but ultimately they got to the point where they realized, "Hey, we cannot, we can't get along. We've got to break away, and that may require war." They sent, I think they call it the Olive Branch Petition to the King in Parliament, saying, "Let's work this out." And once they knew that wouldn't work, but they sent it, doing their due diligence, being good citizens or good subjects. And they realize it come to the point where they've just got to separate, and that may require going to arms.
Yeah. Already this year, 250 years ago, a year before the Declaration of Independence, we had an army, Continental Army already forward. George Washington was in charge of that, commander of that army. A lot of stuff went down 250 years ago. We get to the Declaration of Independence, and then we are definitely at war at that point, for real and for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't by the Americans choosing. It's not like, we want, but Britain insisted that, no, you're going to remain subject to the king. And in order to have that final breakaway, it did require going to arms. It did require war.
Yeah. So there was an ending to the war. It took a long time for the peace to get worked out, but it did come to an end. What was happening during those years, if I can ask it this way, in the formation of our country, that we now needed a government?
Yeah, exactly that. You know, we had the first Continental Congress came together and they tried to work things out and didn't. Second Continental Congress came together. That's where we got the Declaration of Independence from. Okay. And that was the Congress throughout the Revolutionary War. Until the Articles of Confederation were put in place a couple years after the Declaration. But they realized as independent colonies or states at this point, now that they've declared their independence, they refer to themselves as a state, they realized that they had to work together. And that is going to require some sort of an overarching, you know, general government to help them work things out and help them go forward.
They were concerned about having this federal government, which is what it became, I don't know what it was called then, because of what their experience, how the king had abused that power. So they were very, very careful to keep states' rights. And
absolutely.
In fact, they went too far at the beginning, didn't they?
Went too far, didn't go far enough. It depends on how you look at it, you know.
Side you're
but,
on.
But yeah, so they established this general government, and it was under the document was called the Articles of, you know, Perpetual Union and Confederation or something like that. But the Articles of Confederation is how we know them, you know, nowadays. And it was just this kind of weak general or federal government. You know, they didn't want to give up their state's sovereignty. They had just come out from underneath one king who abused them. They didn't want to establish a new government to yes. abuse them. So they established this general government, but it was just they realized over time that it was just too weak. It didn't have the powers that were necessary to do
at the overarching
what needed to be done.
At
yeah.
the federal level.
You know, they gave them the power to declare war, but they didn't give them an army to send to war.
Mm.
So they were dependent on the colonists or the states to supply soldiers to go to a war. They gave them the power to tax, but they didn't give them the power to collect tax.
Oh,
so they could say, okay, you owe us this much for the general government. And they're like, okay, yeah, we'll pay you
yeah.
Tuesday.
Yeah. No consequences if you don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. yeah.
So there was just a weak, it was a weak central government and it just was not up to the task. And they realized that over time. So they made moves to correct that.
All right. And they corrected it by writing an entire, they didn't kind of rewrite the Articles of Incorporation. They wrote a brand new document.
They did.
Is that
well,
a good
they,
way to say it, or how would you say
ultimately,
it?
Ultimately, that was the outcome, yeah. But what they did try to fix these Articles of Confederation. So,
did I say incorporation?
You may have. I don't know. I almost did.
I know.
That's how we are
the modern
accustomed to referring
phrase.
To articles nowadays. But yeah, so there were problems with interstate commerce. There were problems with navigation. Mm. You know, one state's charter said that state owned the Potomac River. The other state, the neighboring state's charter said that the boundary was in the middle of the river.
Mm.
So there was conflict on who gets to use the river. And there was actually a conference. It was called the Mount Vernon Conference where states came together and they kind of worked out these navigational issues and solved that little problem. But they realized later there was another conference in Annapolis to address some other things. And they realized that these Articles of Confederation they really need to be worked over. So we need to get together next year in Philadelphia and we'll fix the articles.
More or less, what year was it when they said, okay, we've got these Articles of Confederation, there are several inadequacies, so let's get together and fix them. Where are we in terms of years, more or less?
It's around 1785, 1786.
Did we have a president at that time? Was George Washington our president? Who was...
Not a president, so the Articles of Confederation...
Nobody was running the show. They were independent states, governors. We had governors,
right.
And they were kind of running their own independent show.
Yeah, the Articles of Confederation established a Congress. It was just one, it was a unicameral, so there was just the Congress.
One.
It wasn't the state, it wasn't the House and the Senate, it was just Congress. And each state, I think, got one vote. You know, so it was very, very simplistic.
Yeah, really interesting. All right, so they come together to fix that, and how did they get to finally to realize, you know, we need a whole new document here?
Yeah, so they came together in Philadelphia in 1787, and they, you know, some of them showed up with the idea of we've got to totally get this thing, we've got to replace it, you know. So like the Virginians showed up with the Virginia plan, and several folks showed up with different things, and they started hammering this out. And a couple of the representatives from New York, I think it was, left the convention. They're like, we didn't come, you know, we weren't sent here to replace the Articles of Confederation. Yes. We were sent here to amend them.
Yes.
So they went back to New York to gain authorization to go beyond the scope of what they were sent to do. This is good representation, right?
Really good, yeah.
But ultimately they didn't return. Somebody else came, and this convention to amend the Articles of Confederation ended up scrapping them all together and starting new and giving us what we know now as our U.S. Constitution, based on basically that Virginia plan, along with several others.
Who were the writers, the main authors of the Constitution?
James Madison was like the Thomas Jefferson of the Declaration. So James Madison was the primary author of the Constitution.
And so it was written over the course of a couple of years?
No.
How long did it take? And then it got signed?
So this Philadelphia convention came together in May of 1787, and Constitution Day is September 17th. So from May to September.
Oh, well, that was fast. Yeah. Of course, they already had the incorporation. They knew what the inadequacies were. Yep. They kind of knew where they were going, at least James Madison. And he articulated it for them.
Yeah.
And then they signed it. And so I'm thinking, that did we have a peace treaty yet with England when this happened, 1787?
1783, I think, was the... No, 17... I'd have to look.
Okay, anyway, that was just a stray thought. I didn't mean to give a difficult question like that. But because that went on for a while, because it took them forever, boats back...
1783 was the Treaty of Paris.
Okay.
So we did have that.
We had that have been done. All right, we are, I think that we're ready to start really looking now at the strengths and protections of the Constitution and why it has endured. You know, that's a big question, and Sean, I'm just going to turn you loose on that.
All right, well, we got a few minutes here.
Yeah, we've got a couple of minutes. If you can give us an overview, then we'll take that break.
All right, yeah. So our I'll just state with some general overview of our Constitution, not the mechanics of it, but just some of the uniqueness of it. It is currently the oldest written constitution in the world. Well, there's a couple of smaller constitutions. I want to say, I think it's in Italy, there's San Marino or something like that, that's a little bit older, but these are very small geographic areas. So the smaller and the fewer people you have, the much easier it is to govern.
Yes.
For something that's got 330 million people, you know, our Constitution is an outlier, being 38 years old tomorrow.
Yep. Unique in all the world.
Yeah, it is. There are a couple of other constitutions. I want to say there's Norway, I think, is about 211 years old, so quite old as well. But again, this is a smaller population. So ours is unique. We keep hearing the American experiment, and that's what this constitution was. And, you know, to go for 238 years... is a pretty good testament to how well it works. Many other countries have been through several constitutions right around the same time that we were going through our revolution. The French Revolution was taking place. Mm. They've had 15 constitutions in the time that we've had our one.
And they didn't have God. They were...
No, theirs was a humanistic...
It was brutal.
Yep. You get the guillotine instead of liberty. You know?
Yes.
Even though their
thing is... They said libertad,
liberty,
right?
Liberty, equality, fraternity. didn't quite work out that way. So, I lost my train of thought here. We've got the oldest constitution, basically, right now.
The experiment. It was like an experiment.
Yeah, and it still is to some point, but I think the point's been proven that it does work if it is followed properly. And that's kind of, you know, the flux that's been going on for the last several decades is this Constitution a living document, meaning that it flexes and changes and molds itself to the current culture, the current societal situation.
But it doesn't flex and change easily.
Well, it
they made it
I'm saying just the way that it's written, not to amend it, but just the way that it's interpreted. If it's interpreted according to current culture and current society, that's one way of looking at it. And that's what they call the living document or living constitution. Mm. And then there's the original constructionists who say that this is what it was written and this is what it meant at the time it was written. So that's the way it needs to be interpreted. And that's the big, that's been the big back and forth on how to use the constitution
over the
last several years.
That's a good thought for us to take that break on. We're going to do that right now. Don't go away.
Do you want safe, efficient excavation without the damage? Call Vandenberg Hydro Excavation, your local experts in storm drain cleaning, culvert jetting, and underground utility locating. Vandenberg Hydro Excavation high-pressure water and powerful vac systems get the job done right. No mess, no guesswork. Safe, efficient digging without the damage. Serving Sandpoint and surrounding areas across Idaho, Montana, and Washington. Find out more information online at vhexcavation.com.
The Forge Artisan Pizza offers a wide variety of pizza styles. Fresh baked sourdough bread, delicious appetizers, interesting salads, beers on tap, fantastic wines, and canned cocktails. Started as a small pop-up, serving Neapolitan pizzas at local wine bars and beer halls, and now a full-service restaurant. The Forge Pizza creates everything in-house from scratch. Only organic Italian flour from a small mill outside of Rome, Italy, and local ingredients. The Forge Pizza, 306 Pine Street, open Thursday through Monday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Do Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keep coming back? Tremfya, guselkumab, may help, with rapid remission achieved at 12 weeks and lasting clinical remission at 1 year. Some even saw visible improvement of their intestinal lining at 12 weeks and 1 year. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active Crohn's disease and adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Healing is possible with Tremfya. Approximately 3 out of 10 patients were in endoscopic remission at 1 year, based on areas visualized on colonoscopy, which may not represent the deeper bowel layer or entire GI tract. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Act now and get 1 full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Call for your fast free quote today. Call 800-289-6215. That's 800-289-6215. 800-289-6215.
All right, everyone. Thanks for staying with us. We're going to jump right back into our discussion on the Constitution, our wonderful, amazing Constitution with Sean Morgan. I have a quote from John Adams, who said that the Constitution was only written for a moral and religious people in order for it to work successfully. Break that down for our audience. I mean, why would John Adams say that? What is it about our Constitution that requires that?
Right. So he said that our Constitution was written for a moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And the idea behind that is that we have to, you know, there's a lot of responsibility and I'm blanking on words.
That's
today.
Okay. They need integrity.
Integrity.
To do what needs to be done.
You have to be willing to do what's right. And in order to do what's right, you know, to have a moral compass and to have something that guides you outside of, you know, these laws and what's written on paper. And the idea was if you had to answer to a higher power, if you had to stand before God one day and explain why you did something, you would think twice about what you do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why this works and how it's supposed to work.
That's how it's supposed to work. That the people, you know, working under these laws, working in our government, that they have that moral integrity to do what you said. They do what is right, mm-hmm. and they do that because they believe they will answer to God Almighty
right.
at the mm-hmm. end of it all.
Right.
It keeps you straight. You can obey your mom and dad while you're in their house and you're just doing it because they told you to do your homework. If you don't have that inner fiber to know that it is right and good to do your homework and to study and be diligent and that God is calling you to be diligent, then you get out of that house.
Yeah.
The rules fly out the window.
And, you know, that's a great Anything. Example there too. You know, you get the little kid who's not listening to mommy, and it's like, wait till your father gets home.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
No. And there's a different level of authority that has to be answered to.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, let's take a look at why this Constitution is so strong and so good. What are some of the pillars and strengths that we see here?
Well, one of the big things here is the separation of powers. So when you concentrate power like you do in a monarchy or an oligarchy, there's the opportunity for oppression, there's the opportunity for misbehavior, there's the opportunity for unequal application of the law. And we see that throughout history. We see that today in places where we have dictators, where we have somebody who's got a lot of power. I don't want to pick on Putin, but we'll use him as an example because he's come mm-hmm. to mind.
Yeah.
This is a very powerful individual. You know, he's the president of Russia, but his power goes beyond just the presidency. They don't have the same sort of setup that we do. They've got a Duma, they've got a constitution, but it's still different.
He controls it.
He does.
And the police and the media.
Right. So in our constitution, we've gone and separated these powers out among three departments. We call them the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. So the people who are judging laws are not the people writing the laws. The people who are writing the laws are not the ones enforcing the laws. The people enforcing the laws are not the ones that are the judge, jury, and executioner of those laws.
Exactly.
So we spread that power out across a group of people. And, you know, we'll have, in the case of the executive, there's one executive head, that's the president. When we get into the legislative branch, we've broken that into two departments too. So we've got the Senate, which originally was there to represent the state's interests in the federal government. And then you have the House, which is there to represent the populace's or the people's interest in the federal government.
You know, the whole topic of the Senate originally being created to specifically represent individual states and to protect them and to promote them and their powers. That's a whole show, Sean.
Yeah.
put it on your calendar.
Yeah.
'Cause really, that's a really interesting topic that most people don't understand.
Yeah, well, we can state it really
evolved.
Briefly.
Go ahead.
That came out of this Philadelphia convention. It was called the Great Compromise, the Connecticut Plan, where the large states are like, hey, we've got a lot of people. We need to have additional representation in the federal government. And the small states are like, that's not fair. What about us?
Mm-hmm.
So the compromise was, okay, every state will get two votes in the Senate. And then in the House, the states will get the number of votes based on their population.
Right.
And then certain things originate in the House and the Senate has to confirm them and vice versa for other things.
Yeah. If I can venture to say that's why it's so important that we are a republic, not a democracy. Because in a democracy, in the common sense of it, the majority can just run over the minority. And there just is never going to be any fairness in that kind of a situation.
Yeah, going back to John Adams, he spoke out against a pure democracy. We'll say we're a democracy. We use democratic processes all the time.
Yes,
but we're not a pure democracy where 50% plus one rules the day in every case.
In every case, in everything. Yeah,
yeah,
that's good. All right, so we were talking about the pillars, separation of powers. Anything else? Isn't there something about the judiciary that's surprised? I'm trying to remember the class, and it talked about they were the least powerful or the
right. So there's a body of documents called the Federalist Papers, and this is basically a commentary on the Constitution that was written by Madison and Hamilton and I forget who the third was, but they wrote these sort of as an explanation to the people, because this has never been done. You know, this sort of a constitution has never been done. So they wanted to explain how the federal government was going to be a good thing, not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, people were worried about that power, you know, overtaking them and them being, you know, under the thumb of, you know, 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away, as opposed to one tyrant 3,000 miles away, as Mel Gibson put it in The Patriot. But, they went through explaining how all these different aspects of the Constitution were intended to work. And in Federalist 83, I think it was, they said that the judiciary is necessarily the weakest branch, you know. So the mantra today is co-equal branches, and that was not the intention. Right. Even in the writing of the Constitution, the amount of word space that was given to the judiciary in Article 3 was less than 10% of the entire document, whereas the amount of word space given to the legislative branch in Article 1 is over a quarter of the document.
Yeah, and we're seeing how judges in particular are usurping powers and jurisdictions that they do in today's world that they don't have, and the Supreme Court has to keep pushing them back down, saying, no, this is, you don't have authority in this.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're not even wanting to obey the Supreme Court. It's an amazing thing that's going on.
And that's we hear constitutional crisis. We're hearing a lot now. We've heard it in the past, you know,
yes.
when the tables were reversed, there's always a constitutional crisis. And the reason there appears to be a constitutional crisis now is because things are being set back to the way that they're intended to work rather than the way they have been working for the last several decades. Now, has Trump gone too far in some areas? I think maybe, but overall, we're resetting, you know, we're resetting the field and getting things set the way that they're supposed to.
And in saying the way they're supposed to, and saying this is the way it is meant to work, and this is the way it works best.
Correct.
I love, okay, separation of powers, and that they wanted to explain, we need more of this, to take to the people what it is, why it is, to really explain truthfully, you know, what the situation is. What else is unique and powerful in our Constitution?
Well, one of the big things is Article 5, which is the ability to amend the Constitution. And we've amended the Constitution, you know, if you count the Bill of Rights, which is 10 amendments, that's really one opportunity that 10 amendments were placed in. And then we added several more. But the opportunity to make those changes, they're not easy changes to make, but if it's the right thing to do and everybody agrees that that's the right thing to do, there's the opportunity to make amendments to this Constitution. So
yeah.
That's one of the things. It's not, you know, so let it be written, so let it be done.
Yes. Oh, I like that. So speaking of the Bill of Rights, the first article has two strengths, the freedom of speech.
It's got five, actually.
It's got five. Tell us those five.
Oh,
can you
boy,
give
now you
us
put
those
me on the spot.
Five?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to do that.
No, it's okay. So it starts out with freedom of religion. You know, it says the government, here, let me pull it right here and I'll not mess it up here. So Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So that's one thing or two things. And what they mean by the establishment of religion is we're not going to be Anglican. We're not going to be Presbyterian.
As a government.
As a country, you know.
Yeah,
there's not going to be
like
a state religion.
Like the Church
religion.
Of England. We're not going to have that.
Yeah. So people take that to mean that there should be no government, but no. That's, I mean, no religion in government,
yeah.
But that's not, that's
it doesn't
not what
even
it's,
say that.
That's not what it's saying.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's the freedom of religion. Then you have the freedom of speech. Freedom of press, what we're doing right now, both of those really,
yeah.
And the right of the people to peaceably assemble and petition their government for the redress of grievances. So there's five rights that are named there in the First Amendment.
That is so good. And I know we've seen with Charlie Kirk the freedom of speech that they tried to stop with a gun. Of course, that won't work. His voice may be silenced as a living voice, but we have videos now. Wouldn't it be fun if we could have videos of George Washington and John Madison and hear their voice and see them speaking. I would love that.
Yeah, they're, well, it's funny you mentioned
journals,
that. On the White House website, PragerU has done a little series of little 2 and 3 minute long videos of the founding fathers. So they introduce themselves and they kind of say what they did.
Do they kind of have them like AI speaking?
Yep, exactly. So there's a portrait of them and then it morphs into this AI cartoon sort of look.
Prager, P-R-A-G-E-R University, and it's
PragerU.
Just
PragerU.com or .org
or
like
EDU.
Yeah, if you go on the whitehouse.gov website,
whitehouse.gov. All right, excellent. I will look for those because that is just totally good. I like that. All right, another pillar or that you see in our Constitution that really makes it so powerful.
Well, one of the things that this Constitution does is it is really set up to limit government. It's not set up to limit the people. It's set up to say that the government is there and this is what they're allowed to do.
You know, in that regard, I think people need to understand, and you can probably quote it better than I can, but the idea that the federal government is very constrained on what they can do, and anything that they are not told they do, it's given to the states.
Right.
States, and that means the people hold just the majority of the power, but it doesn't seem that way. Hold that thought on how you want to comment on that. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, or desktop. There's something special and satisfying about building your home using local wood. Its beauty and strength are hard to beat. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out the website, tntbeams.com.
Accidents happen, and when they do, more people reach out to Northwest Auto Body. Consistently voted the best auto body shop in the region, we offer guaranteed repairs by certified technicians using only state-of-the-art equipment. Our locally owned collision facilities have been serving North Idaho for nearly 50 years. Find us online or just stop on by. No appointments needed, no charge estimates, and advice is just good customer service. Remember, Northwest Auto Body in Sandpoint, Ponderay, and now in Bonner's Ferry.
Sugar Tooth on the Cedar Street Bridge is your one-stop shop for all your sweet needs. Find local chocolates made on-site using ethically sourced cocoa, international candy, drinks, and snacks from more than 10 countries. Sugar Tooth's homemade bestsellers, caramel apple, truffles, Bigfoot bars, and of course the classic pecan turtle. Sugar Tooth has also a variety of vegetarian and vegan-friendly options. Stop by Sugar Tooth's sweet shop on the Cedar Street Bridge. Open 7 days a week.
Selkirk Press, your hometown printer since 1924, from concept to completion in one location. They offer in-house graphic design, printing, copying, laminating, coil binding, mailing services, even pickup and delivery. That means faster service and convenience for you. Any order, large or small, Selkirk Press will make you look good on paper. Selkirk Press, 1714 Industrial Drive by Sandpoint Airport, helping you stand out with custom in-house printing and design.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Pearls on the Lake, seasonal waterfront dining on the shores of Lake Ponderay in Hope, is open for lunch and dinner Thursday through Sunday from noon to 8. Come on out and enjoy the end of season.
1 in 4 Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
News Talk 97.1.
We are celebrating and honoring the United States Constitution Day. This is Constitution Week, I guess I'll call it. Constitution Day is tomorrow. You know, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, please find out if your school, government school especially, but private schools too, are teaching your children about the Constitution. They are required by federal and state code to present the Constitution, to study it, and to hopefully bring some understanding to it with respect, to respect the Constitution. And that would be the purpose of Constitution Day. Yeah, our schools, they need a whole month, Sean, to study. I'm going to have to lobby for that in our legislature. That one day is hardly enough.
Well, that's even... it's the focus, and it's like that day is the day, but they're teaching civics throughout the year.
Okay, well, I just want them to teach.
And as I said, it's going to get
it right.
More comprehensive.
That's what we want. All right, so we've been talking about the strengths of the Constitution. I think let's just go with the idea also that our Constitution is based on the wisdom of God, the men who wrote it, the people who have, you know, fostered it at the beginning were all believers in God. A lot of people want you to believe they were deists or, you know, no. The vast majority were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were Christians.
Right.
And you had to be a Christian to serve in government. And in some states, you had to be a Christian to vote. Of course, now that's not happening now, but that's the way it was at the beginning, right?
Yeah, as we've heard that 9 of the original 13 states had a test of faith. You had to be a Bible-believing Christian in order to serve in government, or you had to at least give an affirmation of the articles of belief that they had in order to serve publicly. Again, going back to that idea of if I cheat in office, I have to answer to God later.
Exactly. To keep you on the right track. And 55 of, back to the Declaration of the 56 signers of the Declaration were believers in the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they were and that's what they believed.
Yeah, we throw around this term deist a lot, and there were a couple of deists, a couple.
Yeah.
And even a deist believes in God. They just don't believe that God is interacting actively with man.
Right.
The majority of the founders were Anglican. Obviously, coming from England, you had a bunch of Presbyterians in there, a bunch of Congregationalists, a couple of Unitarians, a couple of deists, but the vast majority were typical Christian Bible-believing people.
And they based their laws, common laws, a lot on the Old Testament, Deuteronomy and Leviticus. I know that I didn't do enough research to know which ones, but I know that it's true that word for word, the words are taken directly, some of them, out of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. So,
there's a rich history of law, even going back to Hammurabi's Code. The 12 tables of Rome, there's laws that have been around, and they're just, you say it's common sense, but there is a moral aspect to them in every case as well. You know,
yes.
There's like, do this, don't do this, here's the penalty if you do
like
this.
Like the Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments.
Don't steal,
example.
Don't murder. Why would we not have that in our classrooms?
Yeah.
That's just like code, good code. I want to also ask you, this is a question. When I wrote this question and thought about it, I had no idea what the answers were going to be. But what dangers do you see that threaten the strength, our strength and our security today with that Constitution being a part of our armor?
I think the number one threat is ignorance. If people don't know the Constitution or don't study it, don't learn it rather than learning about it. I heard the Constitution this or that. If they don't read it for themselves and understand it and make the effort, John Jay, one of our first U.S. Supreme Court justices, he said, every member of the state ought diligently to read and to study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. By knowing their rights, they will more sooner perceive when they are violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. You really have to know where your rights come from and in order to be able to protect them.
You have to know the truth in order to discern the counterfeit. And boy, that's true in everything from banking, you know, a teller looking at bills they don't have to know every counterfeit. They just need to know what the real ones look like.
Right.
Or passports when you put it under that screen or that light at the airport.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Ignorance, that is a threat and a danger, because someone who doesn't know the truth, they'll believe almost anything.
Right. Yeah. You know. That's been said too. If somebody doesn't believe in God, they don't believe nothing.
Yeah. They believe
anything.
The wrong stuff.
Yeah. We just had a good example of this in Congress here a week or two ago between Tim Kaine and Ted Cruz. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
They got into a little back and forth. Tim Kaine, he said that the notion that our rights don't come from laws and don't come from government, but come from a creator, that's what the Iranian government believes. You know, and so he's trying to equate this type of our constitution with a theocracy like the Iranian theocracy.
To our constitution with a false idol. I'm just going to say it. This is an opinion show, so I can say that. I mean, the Iranians have a theocracy, but they are following a false god.
Yeah.
And many would say an evil god.
Yeah.
And not the true God.
You know, this is all based on liberty, which is what we read throughout the Bible. And so many folks are afraid of allowing religion into government because they think they're going to end up, you know, having to wear red dresses and bonnets. And that's exactly why the pilgrims came here.
Exactly.
Was so that they wouldn't have to do that.
So they wouldn't have to do that. And that still protects us today.
Right.
We are free from the government telling us. We can believe what we believe, and we have the freedom to do that, but our government doesn't tell us.
Right.
What are some of the other dangers? Any other dangers that you see?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is putting me on the spot. That's like a big, deep question. You know? misinterpreting it, you know, going back to that idea of the Constitution being a living document that molds itself to the current culture and the current society rather than meaning what it says, because that's what the authors intended it to mean. So that original intent, as they call it, I think getting away from that is a big problem. You know, if you look at the Constitution as an owner's manual for this country, you pull an owner's manual out of your new car and it tells you, you know, how to inflate your tires, what kind of fuel. If you run the wrong fuel or the wrong oil in your car, you're going to destroy your car. So you have to do things the way the manufacturer originally intended you to do them in order for something to operate properly.
You know, I think you said before something that is still rattling around in my brain about being that some people might be afraid of liberty or afraid of freedom because they think, I don't know, they see that as chaos, that they have to have this hand of control. Globalists, I believe, are like that, who want one world government and they want to control our climate and everything needs to be controlled, even population. They want, of course, I think of COVID, but I think that's a danger where liberty is and freedom is what we need and what we want, and it is the natural state that God has made for us.
Yeah, so there is this thing called power, and power exists.
Yes.
You know, there's no getting away from it. Power exists. How that power is wielded is what determines if the people are free and at liberty or if they're oppressed under tyranny. So we've taken power, and each of the first three articles of our Constitution, they start with, you know, Article 1 starts with all legislative power herein is granted to the Congress. Article 2 says, the executive power shall be vested in a president. And Article 3 says the judicial power shall be in one United Supreme Court. So power exists. Now, whether we have a constitution or a government that is going to use that power for the protection and liberty of the people, or whether they're going to use that power for the protection and liberty of themselves, you know,
right,
for ambition and avarice, getting themselves rich.
Or private agendas.
You know, and there's folks who don't want any government. Well, the power still exists.
Yes.
So where, you know, who's going to wield that power? That's when you get into this
might
makes right kind of an idea.
The misuse of power is this huge danger that we're in today. That brings us, that's going to be our last word.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is.
So quick.
Thank you so very much. I have enjoyed all of these programs with you. And ladies and gentlemen, I've already warned Sean that we're going to do this again next spring. And we want to say real quick about the Patriot Patriot Academy and Hillsdale. If you want materials that are good for you and your family to study, I give you that. And I can repeat that. Sean will give me some information. I'll tell you that next week. So thank you for being with us. And I want to let you all know that next week I'll be talking with Judah Drexler. He's a youth pastor, Pastor Jason Gold, both with Regeneration Calvary Chapel. And a few weeks ago, they scheduled a revival night of music and revival for everyone in the community, especially our young people. And of course, with what's happened with Charlie Kirk, the timing of this is so special. So that's our topic next week. And so until next Tuesday, reminding you all to slow down on the roads, on the water, love each other, and God bless America.